And we're returning now to the Gospel of John. And today we have a passage that is rather long. Verse 22 of chapter 6 to verse 71. But Maria forgot to preach last time about the walking on water. So it's not just verse 22 to 71, it's verse 16 to 71. So if you're sitting comfortably and you've got a Bible, now I'm not going to read every single verse, but it would be really helpful if you have in front of you a Bible that is open and readable. I say open and readable because it might be that you would prefer a large print Bible, and we have some of those at the back. So it's John chapter 6. But before we do that, I want to ask a question. Has there ever been something that Jesus said or did that has been too much or difficult for you? So as you've been reading Scripture, have there been things that you thought, whoa, that's just a little bit too hard for me to stomach? It's just a bit too extreme, Jesus. I've just put a list of a few things. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Difficult to stomach that. And some people would say, oh, well, no, Jesus was actually meaning dot, dot, dot. What Jesus meant to say was, do you think I've come to give peace on earth? We often talk about peace. Even last Sunday I said Jesus gave peace to Thomas and to the disciples. He breathed on them, peace I give to you, receive my Holy Spirit. But Jesus actually says in Luke chapter 12, verse 51, do you think I've come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. Jesus said that he's coming to bring division. And that's tricky. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This would be so much easier if Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Unless you live a good life, and you're a good, kind person. Because that would be so much easier to stomach, wouldn't it? Maybe for children, maybe for family members, maybe for friends, we say, they're not a Christian, they're not following Jesus, but they're a good person. And we wish Jesus had said something different. And the list goes on. A rich young man says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, sell everything and give it to the poor. The next one, number 5, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Whoa, he's talking about hell and eternal judgment. Wouldn't it be easier if Jesus didn't talk about that? Because it's Jesus, he's just loving and peaceful. There was a Baptist minister a few years ago who preached on the next one. And he said, she said, Jesus was a racist. I wrote and said, don't you dare say that. But with this verse, it shows in Matthew 15, there's a foreign woman, as in a non-Jewish woman, who comes up to Jesus and she says, Lord, help me. And Jesus answered, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And some people have taken that, well, Jesus was racist. It's difficult to work out what he's saying. Mark chapter 7, from within, out of the heart of people come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and they defile a person. It'd be so much easier if Jesus didn't talk about sin like he did. And then the last one that I've just put down. If your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It's better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes and be thrown into the hell of fire. Other things that Jesus said or did that's been a bit too much for you, a bit too difficult. Maybe you've tried to explain it, or maybe you've tried to ignore a part of what he said just to make yourself more comfortable. As I said, maybe you've tried to explain it away, or even thought what he really meant to say was. In this passage, in these verses from verse 16 to 71 of John chapter 6, which is a really long passage, there are some things that Jesus says that are difficult to stomach. And we get to a point towards the end. And this is just from verse 60. Many of the disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" And later on in verse 66, "From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him." Have there been things that Jesus has said or done? Or as you've read scripture, you've just looked at it and thought, "I can't do that." And you've said in the words of the disciples in that crowd, in the synagogue in Capernaum, which is where this passage is based, or verse 22 to 71 is based, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" We're going to go through in chunk by chunk. I'll give summary of each passage or part of the passage and just draw out a few things. And we'll end up in a place where the 12 declare their devotion to Jesus because they've come to realize something about him. So verse 22 starts with the next day. Well, what is the next day? Well, just before verse 22 is verse 16 to 21. Jesus has just walked on water. Before that, he has just fed over 5,000 people with just a few loaves of bread and a few fish. He's walked on water, and then the next day, the crowd that stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but they'd gone away alone. Then, basically, verse 25, they find Jesus and said, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." This crowd had their stomachs filled and they are looking for more. And if we approach Jesus just like the crowd were, we're approaching Jesus for the wrong reasons. The crowd were seeking after him for another meal, for another miracle, for their stomachs to be filled. But Jesus says, "I have come not to just fill your stomachs, but to fill your souls with the very presence of God." I said a few weeks ago of people seeking the miracle rather than the miracle worker. seeking after the moment of something amazing rather than eternity with the God who loves you. And Jesus catches them out. He names it. You are seeking for more food. Food that spoils, food that will not last, food that will fill you for a moment, but then you will be empty again. And Jesus is trying to introduce them to food, heavenly food, that will fill them for eternity. The passage goes on, the conversation goes on. Verse 30, they ask, what sign will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus replies, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never grow hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you've seen me and still you do not believe. People had heard from Jesus that they were seeking after the wrong thing. Jesus says about bread from heaven, and they think, we know that Moses gave us bread from heaven, or God through Moses gave us bread from heaven. Manna was the word of that bread, the name of that bread. It means, what is this? And again, they are seeking that momentary manna, or what is this, from heaven. And Jesus is recognizing that they still don't get it. They're still asking, what is this? So I've put a question up. Will you be satisfied with matzos or real bread from heaven? Will you be satisfied with just a moment of filling? Or will you seek after an encounter that lasts for eternity with real bread from heaven through Jesus? The passage continues. All of those, this is verse 37, all of those the Father gives me will come to me. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and will raise, and I will raise them up in the last days. There's a promise for those who turn and believe. There's a promise for those who recognize that Jesus is this real bread from heaven that will not just give us a momentary satisfaction, but will lead us into eternal bliss and paradise. And then things get a bit more complicated. The Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Jesus answered them, stop grumbling among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up in the last days. And he continues and repeats the the expression, the declaration, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread who came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And they struggle with this symbolic language that Jesus is using. He's trying to explain who he is, but he's using a language of a symbolic language that will help them understand, but clearly they're not understanding. And he says that actually, that only those that the Father will draw to him will come. Verse 44. Only those who the Father will use the Holy Spirit to draw unto him and actually give them that understanding of this is the Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Savior of the world. Only those that the Spirit illuminates their eyes will be able to come. They continue to grumble. And we get to this passage where our passage ends. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about him, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are full of the Spirit and of life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Then Jesus replied, have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil. He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12, was later to betray him. There is, in this last passage for this morning, this last section of chapter 6 of John, there is a dispersal or a desertion with disciples leaving Jesus. There's also a declaration of great devotion. We started looking at questions, at a question of what things has Jesus said or done that make it difficult for you to believe or to follow him. For some of the disciples, the things that Jesus had been saying about having his body, his flesh, and his blood, that was too much. And they started to leave. What is it that has kept you following Jesus? For the disciples, the 12, despite Judas being the one who will betray him, they answer, or Simon Peter answers on their behalf, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Today's passage starts with Jesus walking on water, where he walks to them in a storm and they meet him when they are fear-filled. And he says, "It is I, do not be afraid." In Mark's account of this, and in Matthew's account of Jesus walking on water, there is a declaration that the disciples make, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And now at the end of chapter 6, Simon is saying, "You have the words of eternal life, and we know, we've come to believe that you are the Holy One of God." What is it that has kept you? Have you come to believe and to know something about Jesus that you will cling to, even when there are things that are difficult to understand? Despite challenging teaching, will you say we believe and therefore we're staying? Despite not understanding everything, do you have enough of an encounter with Jesus to say, "I believe and therefore I'm staying"? Despite others leaving and the numbers declining, do you have that encounter with Jesus that the disciples had to be able to say, "We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God, and therefore I am staying"? How many of you have had that personal encounter that the disciples had when Jesus walked to them in a storm? Did you understand how Jesus encountered you, or met with you, or comforted you, or strengthened you? Did you understand it, how he did it? Or did you just say, "Thank you, Jesus, for meeting me where I was at"? There are things that we do not understand about God. There are things that are difficult to accept, heart aching to accept at times. Some of the things that I put up on the screen at the beginning. But when we have a personal encounter with Jesus, and we see from Scripture we recognize that he alone is God, and he alone has the words of eternal life, and we can't go anywhere else. We may not fully know how an aeroplane works. Does that stop you from going on it? Or do you trust? We may not fully understand how certain medicines work to aid our bodies, but do we trust that the doctor knows how it works, or that it works, when we take tablets or receive treatments? Similarly, this morning I want to just speak into some things that are difficult, or times when it is difficult to believe or to understand Jesus. And in those moments, to just choose to come back to this passage and say, "Lord, I've got nowhere else to go. You have the words of eternal life. So I'm choosing to come to you, even though I don't understand. You have the words of eternal life. So I'm choosing to come to you, even though I don't get it, or it's difficult, or it's going to be costly and challenging. Because I've come to believe and to know that you, Jesus, are the Holy One of God. In a few moments, we're going to take communion, symbolically receiving Jesus' body and blood, the very thing that Jesus says in this chapter. But it was too difficult for people to receive. We receive it this morning as an act of remembrance and an act of faith, saying, Jesus, I don't understand how you did it on the cross, but I believe that you did it, and that you did it so that I could come to God the Father through you. Let's pray together and prepare our hearts. Father God, we thank you for your word. Jesus, we thank you for the bits of you that we understand from Scripture, for the parts of you that we understand from our encounters with you. Holy Spirit, thank you for showing us Jesus in our lives and through your words. For the bits of you, Lord, that we do not understand, we thank you. We thank you that you are far beyond our understanding. Thank you that we don't fully understand how your sacrifice on the cross worked. We cannot ever fully understand how your gift of salvation worked. But we trust you, Jesus. We thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, we pray that when things come up that we don't get, that we don't understand, or that are difficult for us to process or to receive or to go along with, Holy Spirit, I pray that you will give us a gift of faith in those moments, to look to you, God, and say, I don't get it, but I believe. I don't get it, but I trust. I don't get it, but I'm putting my life in your hands, Lord Jesus, and believe that you have the words of eternal life. Amen.